After a week off for a summer vacation, the Shellac Stack is back, and I'm tempted to say it's better than ever, but truth be told, it's probably only as good as it ever was.
I don't know where you are. I don't know if you still care. I only know that I miss you so. I've searched for you everywhere. I'd climb the highest mountain if I knew that when I climbed that mountain, I'd find you. I'd swim the deepest river if I knew that when I swam that river, I'd find you. Without you, dear, my life means nothing to me. No matter where you are, that's where I want to be. I'd pray to get to heaven, 'cause I know that if I got to heaven, I'd find you. I know that I'm to blame. That's why we've drifted apart. But if you knew what I'm going through, you would forgive me, sweetheart. I'd cross the burning desert if I knew that when I crossed that desert, I'd find you. I'd pay the price of sorrow if I only knew that some tomorrow I'd find you. There's not a single thing that I wouldn't dare if I knew that you would be waiting for me there. I'd give my greatest treasure if I knew by giving up that treasure I'd find you. I'd climb the highest mountain if I knew that when I climbed that mountain, I'd find you. I'd swim the deepest river if I knew that when I swam that river, I'd find you. Without you, dear, my life means nothing to me. No matter where you are, that's where I want to be. I'd pray to get to heaven, 'cause I know that if I got to heaven, I'd find you.
And there you have the rather distinctive vocal stylings of Whispering Jack Smith, or Jack Smith, the Whispering Baritone, as he's credited on the label of that record. I'd climb the highest mountain if I knew I'd find you. Recorded in New York City, March 5th, 1926, for Victor Records and issued on Victor 20038, a song by Lou Brown and Sidney Clare. I really like Jack Smith's sort of relaxed, intimate vocal style. Legend has it that while serving in World War I, he was subjected to some poison gas that prevented him for the rest of his career from singing at full volume, so he developed this whispering, or rather subdued style of singing that was popular first on radio in the early 1920s and then on records beginning about the time electrical recording became practical in 1925 and 26. He recorded extensively in the United States and in England throughout the rest of the 1920s, made a brief career comeback in the 1940s before dying at the age of 51 in May of 1950 in his hometown of New York City. Whispering Jack Smith, starting off this edition of the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright. Welcome to the program, a program featuring 78 RPM records from the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. I'm feeling a little whispery myself this afternoon as I prepare this program. I'm back from several weeks of traveling around, most notably a full week in Sedalia, Missouri for the Scott Joplin International Ragtime Festival, where I had a wonderful time, maybe even saw some of you there, performing at the piano and singing with my wife and with my friend Martin Spitznagel and others. If you've never been, I think I encouraged you on the last program in this series to attend, and hopefully you can attend one of these days. It's a lot of fun. More about that later. For now, though, let's get back to the music, and I have up next a record by Jane Green, recorded also for the Victor label, this on December 8th, 1927. It's a Gershwin song called My One and Only, What Am I Gonna Do? Martha Jane Green, better known simply as Jane Green, singing My One and Only, What Am I Gonna Do, from 1927. Jane Green, kind of a shadowy figure in music history. Back in the 1920s, she was quite popular here in the United States and even traveled over to England on at least one occasion to perform. Unfortunately, though, she died quite young, only 34 years old, on August 28, 1931, when she apparently suffered a paralytic stroke and died. But there we have her in better form, better days, my one and only. Up next, got a couple of piano records for you. This first one by James P. Johnson, the father of stride piano, is a record on the Columbia label called A Flat Dream. I was thinking about piano records while we were traveling around at the Scott Joplin Festival. This one dates from June 14th, 1939. It's one of his own compositions. After that, we'll hear Joe Reichman at the piano, from an album set on the Victor label that I like a lot from about 1941. We'll hear that great song by Ted Kohler and Harold Arlen, Stormy Weather. I pulled this one out specifically because a short while ago as I was preparing the program, the clouds were out. It looked like it was going to just storm terribly here, and things have since cleared up a bit, though. It's sunny at the moment. Anyway, Joe Reichman will play Stormy Weather, but first, here's James P. Johnson. Thank you. Though at times Joe Reichman can come across a bit heavy-handed at the keyboard, I tend to like his playing, and I like that record. Stormy Weather Keeps Raining All the Time, Victor 27396, recorded in about 1941, preceded by James P. Johnson at the piano, his own composition, the A-flat Dream, somewhat unusually in a boogie-woogie style, where James P. Johnson is perhaps better known for his stride performances. But I like that. It was in an album set also, that one on the Columbia label, of Boogie Woogie piano solos. You're listening to the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright, playing for you 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. We endeavor to feature all kinds of music, and this next little set is prompted by my friend and host of Rapidly Rotating Records, Glenn Robison. I note with some envy this week that he is enjoying the sun and beaches out in Hawaii. Missouri is fun, but it's not Hawaii. Anyway, thinking about Hawaii had me thinking about some Hawaiian music. So first, let's listen to a Montgomery Ward 78 made in December of 1933. W.C. Handy's St. Louis Blues, but played for us by two masters of Hawaiian guitar, Jim and Bob, Jim Holstein and Bob Paole. The Genial Hawaiians, they're called on the label. This is Montgomery Ward record number 4424. Not a whole lot known about Jim and Bob. They only made a handful of recordings in the mid-1930s, but they're all excellent, exceptional things. And there's even a CD reissue out of all of their recordings, which I don't have yet, but I would like to pick up sometime. In the meantime, I have this record to keep me company. It's, as I said, the St. Louis Blues. We'll follow that with Hawaii's Answer to Bing Crosby, Alfred Apaka and His Hawaiians on a Bell 78 from sometime in the 1940s. Alfred Apaka sings Across the Sea. So two Hawaiian numbers now, beginning with Jim and Bob. As much as I like a good hot record, there's something to be said for a nice restful selection like that. Across the Sea, Alfred Opaka and his Hawaiians, on a Bell record with no catalog number, but probably recorded in the late 1940s. Before that, Jim and Bob, the Genial Hawaiians, and the St. Louis Blues, recorded December 12, 1933, on a Montgomery Ward pressing that probably dates from the later 1930s. Well, up next, I have for you two records by a well-known entertainer who just recently would have celebrated his 125th birthday, born in June of 1890. It's Ted Lewis. And if that elicits a groan from you, I hope that may turn to some amusement in the upcoming set, because Ted Lewis, I think, has been given sort of the short end of the stick, so to speak, for a number of years. People have maligned his clarinet playing. People have tried to pigeonhole him as a nostalgia-oriented kind of hokum performer of the 1940s and 50s with his top hat and cries of, "Is everybody happy?" But there's a lot more to Ted Lewis than that, and Mark Beresford over in England has been doing some research on Ted Lewis for a number of years, and with his help on my Rivermont label, we have just released a CD called Runnin' Wild, The Early Years of Ted Lewis, 1919 to 1926, featuring some performances previously released on Columbia Records and also some never before released from test pressings in the collection of the Ted Lewis Museum over in Circleville, Ohio. And I thank folks like Joseph Rubin, Joyce Keller, and all the folks over at the Ted Lewis Museum for their help with this CD. Yes, this is a shameless plug for the disc. I hope you'll pick it up. If you care to do so, you can pick it up from Rivermont Records, and I'll post the link right here on the Shellac Stack webpage. But if you need it, it's www.rivermontrecords.com, and you'll find the Ted Lewis CD listed among the catalog offerings, and it's got 27 tracks, more than 80 minutes of music packed onto the one disc, and really, I think it's eye-opening stuff. Ted Lewis was a better improviser, a better clarinet player and saxophone player than people have generally given him credit for, and some of the unreleased test pressings find him getting rather wild, letting out whoops and dog barks and other kinds of things you don't maybe expect from Ted Lewis. Anyway, without much further ado, let's listen to two tracks by Ted Lewis. Neither of these are on the CD. I didn't want to simply play you the CD. So we'll listen first to I Like Pie, I Like Cake, But I Like You Best of All from Columbia 274. This is the issued version at the time. I was very fortunate to come across a nice store stock copy of this not too long ago, recorded December 23rd, 1924, with a vocal from Ted Lewis. The CD has an unreleased version of this track, take 4, which finds Ted getting a little wilder than he does on the issued take. But again, you'll have to buy the CD to hear that. After I Like Pie, I Like Cake, we'll hear Tomorrow. I'll Be in My Dixie Home Again Tomorrow. And if we had had a little more space on the CD, I would have liked to have included this, partly because it's a favorite song of mine, but I also think this is a very good performance of it. From September 16th, 1922, it's an instrumental. So now, two from Ted Lewis and his band, beginning with I Like Pie, I Like Cake, But I Like You Best of All. Thank you.
I like dogs when they fight. I like smile cause you bite. But of all those things, I like you best of all.
From Ted Lewis to celebrate that entertainer's recent 125th birthday, and also to celebrate the release on my Rivermont label of a brand new CD, Ted Lewis and his jazz band Runnin' Wild, the early years 1919 to 1926. First, we heard I Like Pie, I Like Cake, But I Like You Best of All. That's the commercially issued version that came out to record buyers in 1925. The CD has an unreleased version from Ted's own collection of test pressings that you'll hear on the disc if you buy it. After that, we heard Tomorrow, I'll Be in My Dixie Home Again Tomorrow, one that's not even on the CD, but I just happen to like that record, Columbia A3709. Again, the CD is available from Rivermont Records, and if you'd care to pick it up, I don't really solicit donations or anything for this program, the Shellac Stack. It's something I do because I enjoy it. But if you do buy the Ted Lewis CD from the Rivermont website, your purchase will be going to help support not only Rivermont Records, but helping to keep the Shellac Stack up and running as well. So I thank you for that. Well, a couple of Ted Lewis records deserve, maybe not deserve, but inspired me to pull out a couple of more records by two other musical Teds. First, Ted Wallace and his orchestra. In this case, I'm kind of cheating because there was no Ted Wallace. That was a pseudonym for Ed Kirkaby. A Domino record from November of 1928. We'll hear All By Yourself in the Moonlight. After that, it's Ted Weems and his orchestra, Victor 22037. Parker Gibbs singing the vocal from 1929. Piccolo Pete, one of the records that really caught my attention when I was a kid and got me into collecting 78s and especially music of the 1920s and 30s. So, two more Ted records now. First, Ted Wallace, a.k.a. Ed Kirkaby, and All By Yourself in the Moonlight.
That's a bird in disguise, a bird called Piccolo Pete. Did you ever hear Pete go tweet, tweet, tweet on his piccolo, huh? No? way, you've missed a lot, cause he surely has got style that's hotter than hot. Did you ever hear Pete go tweet, tweet, tweet on his piccolo? No? Well, you've missed a treat, cause his melodies sweet are the kind that could be beat. He can pick a high note, he can pick a low note, he can pick a blue note, he can pick a note that's a brand new note. Did you ever hear Pete go tweet, tweet, tweet on his piccolo? No? Well, I put you wise, he's a bird in disguise, a bird called Piccolo Pete.
Just something infectious and completely charming, I think, about Parker Gibbs and his accent and his vocal stylings, and I just love that record. Piccolo Pete, Ted Weems and his orchestra, Victor 22037. It was a Phil Baxter song recorded in Camden, New Jersey, June 28, 1929. Before that, Ted Wallace and his orchestra, a pseudonym for Ed Kirkaby, All By Yourself in the Moonlight, Domino 4250, and the singers on that were the Radio Imps, which was Ed Smalley and Jerry Macy, recorded November 30th, 1928. Well, why don't we move it forward a little bit? We've been pretty much stuck so far in the 1920s, 30s. Well, we did have a few excursions to the 40s for the Joe Reichman and Alfred Apaka, but we're going to zoom forward to the 1950s now for a Peggy Lee record, a rather late 78 on the Decca label, number 29608, recorded in Los Angeles, May 6th, 1955. This is a song, though, that goes back to the 1920s. Sugar, that sugar baby of mine. So, here she is, Miss Peggy Lee.
Sugar, I call my baby my sugar. I never may be my sugar. That's why my baby is so confectionary funny. I never plead for his money, cause when I feed him on honey, I get my needs every time. I'd make a million trips to his lips if I were a bee, cause they are sweeter than any candy to me. He is granulated sugar. I never cheat on my sugar, cause I'm too sweet on my sugar, and that sugar baby of mine. Thank you. if I were a bee, 'cause they are sweeter than any candy to me. He's granulated sugar. I never cheat on my sugar, 'cause I'm too sweet on my sugar. That sugar baby of mine. Sugar, sugar, that sugar baby of mine.
It's such a good song, I thought we would hear it again. Sugar, that sugar baby of mine, written by Maceo Pinkard, Sidney Mitchell, and Edna Alexander. The first version sung by Peggy Lee on the Decca label, recorded in Los Angeles in May of 1955, and then an instrumental by McKenzie and Condon's Chicagoans, recorded in Chicago, December 8, 1927. That's Red McKenzie and Eddie Condon, of course. And that's a wonderful record. I wish I had an original pressing on the OK label, but my copy, it was reissued a number of times on Columbia. The one I played for you was on the UHCA label, a special reissue label produced in the late 1930s for jazz record collectors. Fortunately, many of them, as is the case here, using original metal stampers, original matrices, so it's basically like having the OK record, but at a tiny, tiny fraction of the cost, so I'm okay with that. Well, with those two versions of Sugar, we approach the end of today's Stack of 78s here on the Shellac Stack. As always, I thank you for taking a moment to tune in and listen along to these 78s with me. I hope you found something that you enjoy, and I hope you'll be back when I come back with more records on the Shellac Stack. Before I play the last record, though, today, I do want to remind you about that Ted Lewis CD. I'm very, very proud of it, and I hope that you will consider picking it up. As it said, it does have that wonderful 40-page booklet with extensive, really, really wonderful notes written by expert Mark Beresford over in England, and lots of previously unpublished pictures from the Ted Lewis Museum's archives. The disc itself plays over 80 minutes, 27 selections, and six of them previously unissued from rare test pressings in the collection of the Ted Lewis Museum. Lots of good music, I promise. It will change your opinion of Ted Lewis if you're one of the detractors, as I was before I embarked on this project. And it's there for you at rivermontrecords.com, or just follow the link here on the Shellac Stack webpage. I'll post a link directly to where you can buy it. And if you do buy it, you'll be supporting the Shellac Stack podcast, so thank you for that too. Okay, enough talk. Let's get to the last record today. And this one I pulled out because it's a song I enjoy singing to the accompaniment of Martin Spitznagel's piano. We did it just a few weeks ago. Actually, only a week ago. It feels like longer ago. Only a week ago when we were in Sedalia, Missouri for the Scott Joplin Festival. We performed this and had a good time with it. It's called Granddad's Flannelette Nightshirt. You have to pay attention. Is he really singing about the nightshirt? George Formby and his ukulele on a Regal Xenophone record from December of 1939. George Formby wrote the tune. This is Regal Xenophone MR3301 to finish us out. Granddad's Flannelette Nightshirt. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Now in our family we've got an heirloom. They handed it to me a year ago. It's been in our possession since Granddad was a lad. I'll tell you what it is and then you'll know. It's me granddad's flannelette night shirt. In it I was christened one day. Down at the church, they were in the whirl. No one seemed to know if I were boy or girl. They'd had one or two and they were in a mess. But it's all right, said the preacher rather curt. I've been and had a quiz, and I found out what it is by his granddad's flannelette shirt. Lordy, lordy, his granddad's flannelette shirt. In me granddad's flannelette night shirt, I got married one day. In the train, my bride gave a shout. Eee, what is that you are pulling out? I said it's old-fashioned and it's tattered and torn, but I brought it honeymooning with me girt. When she said, what is it, dear? I whispered in her ear, it's me granddad's flannelette shirt. Lordy, lordy, me granddad's flannelette shirt. The other day I got an invitation to go and join a nudist colony. As the life is healthy and in the open air, I trotted off as happy as can be. With me granddad's flannelette night shirt, I walked up to the door. Someone said, now don't make a fuss, just take off your clothes and you'll be like us. I was bashful, so I stayed by myself, for with the girls I didn't want to flirt. But when I fell asleep, they all came and had a peep at me granddad's flannelette shirt. Lordy, lordy, me granddad's flannelette shirt.